Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and we got such a great band for you. You don't need whole speak. Don't settle for quarter speak, all right? This is half speak, and this is their song, Carry On.
Carry on, no, our words won't be alive. All your friends can't stain the gold, and you might, well, you might just stay all night. And you're sure, well, I'm begging for a fight. Let it go, let the ashes spread around. Let it burn, when I'm waiting.
Welcome back. So let's get to know these lads, these men of music.
We are lads
that are here. So go ahead, introduce yourselves so the internet knows your voice.
Oh, hey, I am Chris Cooper. I play guitar and do singing.
Oh, excellent. I am Adam Cooper. I'm the youngest of the brothers, and I play the bass.
I am Mike Cooper. I'm the middle brother, and
no
I play
cares.
The drums. Yep. Yeah, I knew that was coming.
So how long have you guys been playing as half-speak, as brothers? Have you kind of just been playing together your whole life and then decided, oh, let's give this band a name? Or
Yeah, I mean, Mike and I have been playing probably the longest, I think, together since, I don't know, since you were, what, 11?
Yeah, and that's probably when.
You're, what, 27 now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we've been playing a long time. You know, we all live in the same house, obviously, so it was just one of those things. Like, my dad was a drummer, so he started teaching Mike. We had an old kit, and then, then Adam was doing music with a bunch of other different bands. And then I think it was, what, 2 years ago now that we started doing this?
I think it was 2 years ago.
Officially, and started putting a name to it and trying to get recorded and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, about 2 years.
So, what's your guys' songwriting process like as brothers? Did you kind of take a bunch of stuff that you wrote throughout the years and then flesh it out more for half speak?
It kind of always starts as like a jam session. We all rent a house together, so we're always kind of in each other's faces. So kind of when like the amps start turning on and stuff, we kind of all end up over in the practice room. And it's usually some stuff that like some hooks and stuff like that Chris came up with on his own or Adam came up with. And then we all kind of start putting it together and decide if it's worth keeping or not. I think, yeah, it usually starts with something Chris came up with.
I mean, we've got stuff from like forever ago, but you know, and when we were like preteens, like my biggest influence was like 311. So we wanted to play like 311, which is very hard to do when you're like 13 years old and you can't play very well. And then when we got into like our later teens and stuff, we were really into, you know, like Under Oath and X-Tole and Zayo and stuff. So we wanted to be a metal band. And so we were playing stuff like that. We even went out and got a keyboard player, you know, just to make it extra official.
Also added effects.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then like later on when we got into like our 20s, we were like, oh man, indie's like a thing now. And so we started like,
this could be profitable,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Well, it was just like, we just started playing whatever we were into. So we were playing like, I went out and like got like all these melodicas and like,
Glockenspiel.
Theremin.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
the goddamn Glockenspiel.
Yeah, yeah. And so like, and we would have all these shakers and stuff. And I was like, this is so good, dude. Like, people are going to think we sound like the love child of Sufjan Stevens and Sigur Rós, dude. It's going to be so good. And no one thought that, really. But it was all right. It was okay stuff.
It sounded nice.
Yeah, when we all kind of moved around, did other stuff. So when we got back, when I moved back into the state and I was talking to, I'd been working for a while and I was talking to the guys and I thought, you know, I'm getting close to 30 and I actually would like to make a real effort at shooting for doing like a band, like something that we actually take seriously and we play shows, whatever. And so the stuff that we just started writing without trying to fit into whatever was stuff that we grew up with. And it was all just ended up being like a little bit faster tempo rock music. That's what we grew up on. That's what we always loved. So we thought, okay, well, that's what comes out naturally, then we'll just play that.
Oh, it sounds so freaking good.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
But like,
you do too.
The bass drum, when we were in there, we could swear that it was like you had two pedals going. What, did you have two pedals going?
No,
or
no.
Just your foot moves that fast?
I don't know. My dad was really against me playing with a double pedal when I was younger. I tried to put one up and I was, like I said, like Chris said, we were super into metal and stuff, but I don't know, I pulled the double pedal away, like, I don't know, I want to say like maybe like 7 years ago, and just decided I just wasn't going to touch it anymore. And I don't know, I just forced myself to kind of compensate, but I just kind of play with my heel as high up as possible, and I sit really high up on my throne too, so I have a lot of like, you know, extended leg driving force on it.
Yeah, Jimmy legs.
Like restless leg syndrome.
Like, oh, look at it go.
It won't stop. I'm trying. It keeps going. All right. Well, I got a little segment that we have on the show that we do with everyone. It's called Five Questions. It's going to be five questions I ask everybody. So here it is. Cue the music. It's time for some five questions. All right. The worst gig you guys ever had.
Ryan A.
Absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, I think it was. Was it at that?
It was Fast Eddie's.
This place is defunct now. Like, we were headed there, and someone was like, "Yo, it's a billiard." And we looked on. I was like, it's gonna suck. It's gonna be like a bunch of like old heads at the bar, and they're gonna be like, "Why is this band playing?" Which is pretty much what it was. But we were getting directions. Like, I looked it up on Yelp, and the first review was like, one star, my daughter got stabbed here. I was like, well, all right, dude. At least I'm not going to get stabbed,
I'll wear a phone book.
It was good, though.
I mean, it wasn't the end of the world or whatever, but, I think the place was already closing, and so the staff was already mentally checked out, and they didn't care. And I don't know why they decided to even let us play there in the first place. And we brought out some friends, and it was this really big area, and it had way too many lights, like the obnoxious amount of lights. So they just flipped one switch, and it was like three disco balls and our music and all these lights.
It was real bad.
And we had like five people out there watching us, and this like guy at the bar.
What was his name? Do you remember it?
I don't
know. He came over and he was like, "Yo, that man's the best drummer ever. Yo, Mad Mike."
Yeah, yeah. Called
Mad Mike all night.
That was the only good part. Was that dude?
He got really drunk and kept trying to hug me the whole night.
Yeah.
It was cool, but
it was cool. Yeah, but whatever. Yeah, that's probably the worst. Although we haven't really had like super bad ones for the most part.
No, they've all been.
We enjoy playing, and usually places we play have beer, so it's like you can get over a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Get over anything with beer.
No matter how bad the show is, there's still enough beer afterwards to forget it.
Sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, we played a show for like five people, but the bar gave us free drinks the whole night, and it was just Mike and I, and we were like, this is the best show ever.
Chalk it up to a win right there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. The worst equipment malfunction you had on stage.
Oh, I don't know if it's between...
These are probably all going to be individual, but there was the time my bass pedal came disconnected from my bass drum, and the bass drum just moved across the stage, and I had to finish the song with no bass drum.
The cymbal also fell over as well, didn't it?
And the cymbal fell over. It was just a cluster cuss all the way around.
Yeah, it was like that. I looked over, and like the actual bass drum was like inching across the stage, and Michael had already gotten out of his seat, and he was following the drum set. He was chasing the drum set, trying to play.
I was trying my damnedest, but...
Actually, someone thought you kicked the drum set over on purpose. I thought that was hilarious. It was so cool he kicked the drum set.
Yep, that's awesome. What happened. It was on purpose.
All right. I think maybe the most embarrassing for me was I forgot to take my E string down to I was in drop D and I was supposed to be in E.
Yeah, that was infuriating.
It was just stupid. Yeah. And so we went to the next song and I don't play that string until halfway through the song. So finally I get to do a power chord and I'm in drop D and I realize, this isn't working and I can't do it in my head real quick, I need to switch from here to here. I just couldn't do it. And so I'm trying to keep going, but then I was like,
He just pretended his amp wasn't working.
Yeah, I was pretending
I can't do it.
The best part is that Mike and I continued that song for another 2 minutes.
Yeah, you guys just kept playing it.
We thought your amp was really broken. You were being very convincing about it.
I was doing this thing, where you
cut it. Yeah. No.
Cut it, guys.
Kill him? I don't understand.
Is your neck itchy?
Oh man, I never actually had that many problems.
Yeah, I think the worst thing happened to you. You had a faulty cable one time, right?
Yeah. That wasn't a faulty cable; it was a DI. The venue gave me a faulty DI, and it kept cutting in and out.
Yeah, so that's nothing.
Yeah, yeah, that's really about it.
I mean, in terms of anything, it was nothing really hilarious. We didn't get lit on fire by pyrotechnics or anything.
I don't know. The thought of someone chasing their drums trying to play
that one
was pretty funny.
Pretty good. But yeah, it's about the worst.
All right. The dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour?
We actually haven't toured yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't done any of that yet. We keep talking about it, but I hate to pull the curtain back, but we don't make much money. We're not swimming in dough. a lot of times we're paying to get to places and no one cares. So we all have jobs at the moment too, and so I'm like, well, next month, man, if we can get ahead, dude.
Take some time.
We'd like to do it. We'd like to do it, but part of what we had discussed when we first started doing this was instead of just recording and then hitting the road and going in front of a bunch of people that don't care about us, because it's basically all shows. You go somewhere and no one cares about you, and then if you play well, then they go, oh, okay, that's not bad. But I thought, why don't we just play as many times as possible in the place we grew up? We grew up in Virginia and D.C., and we lived here our entire lives mostly. And so I was like, why don't we just go to all the places we've always been and seen shows and just do that? Like, what happened to people just being like a local act per se? So I don't know.
The internet, that's what happened. Everyone has to go everywhere now.
Well, I don't know. It's even harder now. Like, when we were teenagers, it was like, oh, now the internet's out. We don't have to tour. And now the internet's out and everybody can put their music on there and, like, send you a link on Facebook, like, hey, man, check out my band on SoundCloud. Now it's like, I feel like we have to go and play more shows. So I don't know.
Yeah. So now there's web streaming.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just stream a show into your living room.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the dirtiest place that we've played on tour is probably our house.
Yeah.
It's probably the dirtiest place we've stayed.
Actually, years ago when I played with my old friends, I had a couple house shows and I had to stay at one of them. And, oh, it was bad.
It was a dirty place, yeah.
Like holes in the wall, beer cans all around.
I had to sleep in the basement, and I woke up, and there was some dude on the floor. He pissed himself. It was bad.
Ew.
It was
Is this you?
Yeah, it was me, actually. I woke up and pissed myself.
Disgusting, dude.
And I was like,
why are you saying that?
Way to throw him under the bus. A friend of mine.
You know other people are going to hear
some
this,
guy
dude.
That I never met before in my life, whose name was also Adam.
The closest you've come to quitting music.
That's like every week, man. I think, honestly.
Like every day of my life. I can't do this anymore.
Quitting music by itself would never happen. It just wouldn't. I mean, it's been most of my life has been playing music in some form or another. So if I stopped, then I'd probably have like a nervous breakdown or something. So I'm just not going to. So, I mean, I'll always be writing and doing music in some capacity, and this is probably the same for these guys, too.
I mean, yeah, Mom and Dad made sure that we all played piano when we were, six, I think, to start.
Yeah, whatever.
We've just continually played music since. I probably never stopped playing music.
But the closest, I mean, sometimes we'll get mad at each other or, things just won't be going well, and we'll be like, what are we doing in here, man? What is our lives about? sometimes it gets close, but I don't think there's ever been a serious, whatever. I mean, I kicked Michael out of the band once when we were 16.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't learn his changes or whatever.
Really? I wouldn't memorize my fills.
Yeah, he wouldn't memorize
They're
his fills.
They're always different. It's not
a constant jam session. We have shows coming up.
It's not like this.
That's true.
Thing
yeah.
Well,
don't you still
I still
that?
Stand by what I said.
Yeah, well, I get it now, but, you know.
Well, it makes every show individual and unique.
Oh, yeah. I don't right, know. Exactly. Okay.
You just
don't
do the same thing every time.
This is a sensitive subject that you've just brought up. You did this intentionally. Okay, look, I'm just going to say my piece about this.
Driving wedges between
When we are going to record... Have your fills down. If I was doing different riffs every time, it would be ridiculous. And if you want to play different, if you want to play different fills of shows, I don't care.
Well, I was 16 at the time. I mean, give me some credit. You know, when I go into the studio, it's the same. I play the same thing. You know,
generally.
Well,
I mean, you made a couple new ones when we were recording last time that
at
I thought
the
sounded
request
better.
Of the
so
producer, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't care.
The last question is the best memory you guys have together as a band.
I mean, they're all terrible, so I don't really know.
I would throw my vote in for that time that giant bra got, rocketed up on the stage and perfectly landed on Adam's bass guitar at Jam and Java, right as the breakdown was starting. That was a pretty cool moment.
That might have been the coolest
all the way
moment.
Around, yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you saw that, out of context, you didn't know us, you didn't know the band, if you just saw, hey, there's these guys, they're playing a rock show, and a bra throws up, people would be like, those guys are cool, dude. There's probably a girl there that thinks, dang. I think it was actually one of our friends, though, that threw it.
I don't say names, though, if you know.
The funny part is that
I later on found out it was one of our
friends. Yeah, see, so it wasn't, but that
her
was...
Her boyfriend threw it on stage.
So, yeah.
That takes all the magic out of it, I gotta be honest.
Well, okay, now
you get,
it does.
You get excited.
But
like...
it was cool when it happened.
When you see it on camera, it's a great moment.
I think that was mostly just, it was just a good show. We had just started... And we thought, it'd be cool if we got to play a decent night over Jam and Java or whatever. Because Jam and Java is a cool place, right?
Yeah.
It's a nice place. It's a nice stage. It's in terms of Northern Virginia for playing gigs, it's probably the nicest place.
Oh yeah,
there. And so I just sent an email out with our demo, and we got right in, which was pretty nice. I enjoyed that. So, yeah. And then we had 50, 60 people came out. So it was.
Good night.
Yeah,
that's a good night.
It was a well celebrated night. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good night. We
got
had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. That's the second time a friend threw a bra on stage at me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Don't gloat. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Happened twice, man.
If it's twice, it's not magical.
Look, some of us will
never
get bras thrown at us. You don't have to rub it in.
So many bras. Oh God.
Start a collection. I have them mounted on my wall in in my den.
Personally, I'd like it if we had like some like old man whitey tighties. That would be nice.
Big,
the various
like
underwear
really put to
you
down.
Collected.
Like a jock strap or something. Right. Like, just to spice it up a little bit.
This is my
so
wall
antiquated.
Of undergarments.
Yeah.
All right. So we got another song for you guys listening. It's called At the Door. Did you guys have anything you wanted to tell people about this song?
No, man. It's cool. You'll like it.
All right.
We hope.
I loved it. You guys are going to like it. So here it is. It's At the Door by Half Speak. At the Door by Half Speak. So now let's promote some stuff. You guys need to know what's going on in the area. Now, I believe you guys right now are working on a new album. How's that coming along? And is there a time frame window of release?
Well, we came out with the EP December of last year, and that was titled Christmas Newsletter 1. And I know, it's like people
the
didn't
one,
understand
right?
it. Like, we're brothers, right? So we have all these pictures of us as little kids.
All those little sweater pictures.
And we kept talking about. I was like, oh, dude, we need to get a picture of the band. We need to get a picture of the band. But like, I kept getting worried that if we went out, sorry, there's like this hair from my mustache just going into my nostril. So anyways, we kept going to do a picture, and then I was like, it's gonna be so stupid. It's gonna be these three guys that have beards, and we're like, and we're not smiling. It's like, but you can't guess what we do. We play in a band. And you know what I mean? It's like anytime you go to record labels, like Page, or whatever, and you see like all these
three
bands,
dudes not smiling.
Yeah, it's all these like unwashed dudes, and they're like,
standing
and so
somewhere.
I thought it'd be cool. Like, well, we already to save money, you know, instead of going to JCPenney's and paying like you know $50, we already got pictures from us when we were little kids. Boom, and they're a little faded. That's kind of retro. People are into that kind of crap,
yeah, right?
And people weren't kids. Not in a weird way, but people like kids. And so I thought, like, so I thought, okay, cool. Yeah. So we just used a picture of us as
rock music with.
Yeah, yeah. As a as little kids, and the first thing I thought of was that, like, I don't know if your mom did this, but our mom every year would write a newsletter. You know, like she was a publication or something, and she would, it would be like everything that happened to the family, like Mike lost a tooth and Chris got his a red belt and Adam, you know, played a video game or whatever.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so, like, and she'd send it, and she'd send it like with a picture of us.
Yeah.
She'd send it, instead of just getting a picture, you got like this note, and she'd send it to everyone that we knew. And I don't know if this is just like a homeschool thing or whatever, but like all of our friends' parents did the same thing. So
yeah,
we'd always get these.
It was a homeschool thing.
And my mom would read them to us, and we'd be like, we don't care.
Actually, that one kid's mom made like a full video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was pretty embarrassing.
Awkward. And then she like painted awkward. The little cassette tapes and like sent them out to people.
She sent out like VHS.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nobody multiple. Wanted to watch it. It was like an hour. It was like an hour long. No one cared.
And it's like four children because we have a little sister, and it's just like not behaving at all. One whole stuff with the camera. My dad's sitting there going, oh, God, make it end.
It's like the reality TV version of Problem Child.
It wasn't. We weren't that bad. It was just boring. The worst sin it did was boring. But yeah, so Christmas newsletter. That's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, you know what? If we're already going for stupid, and I'm not trying to be serious, and I don't want people to think we're cool, then fine. I'll just keep doing with this. So, anyways, that's a long way to say we did it in December, and I thought, okay, if we keep them all a year apart, I think we'll nail it, and we'll get it in December of this year. That's when I think it's going to happen. The good news is it's better. It's
way
longer.
Better. Yeah, it's more than four songs.
It is more than four songs, and chances are you might like it.
So, you just might.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keep an open mind, though.
Yeah. You might enjoy it. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Are you going to include another sweater picture? Childhood sweater picture?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I want to keep it Christmas-themed. Because our whole band would get like, be like, oh, they're the Christmas band, but we don't do any like Christmas songs. So,
like, none of us even like Christmas
music. Yeah, maybe what we'll do is... I don't know. It'll be in the winter time. Maybe we should just have a picture of us in the snow or something. You know, like what was? Remember though, those? Remember in the '90s when you were a kid, and like all those bands would always have like the boy band stuff. They'd always have their Christmas album.
Yeah,
it'd be them in cool scarves and
sweaters,
be snow.
Turtlenecks,
yeah. And it'd be like, "'Tis the season for 98 degrees." You know, I mean, whatever. You know, like, that could be kind of cool. We could do that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that album. Nice. I got some. Some shows and shit to tell you guys about. First off, open mics, go to them. They're great. They're awesome. A couple that I highly recommend that I love is every Tuesday night at Philadelphia Tavern in Old Town Manassas. Boom. Open mic hosted by a plethora of people. There's Matt. There's Ricky. You'll get to know them. You get to know them. Get a beer. $5 burgers. Boom. You're done. Next place, Epicure. Every Thursday night. Wonderful people, wonderful music, wonderful pizza, very tall beers. I feel like I'm reviewing beers more than open mics. But anyways, open mics, they're great. You get to hear people play things they don't normally play at shows, test things out. Sometimes people just jam. Then coming up on September 30th, Cabin Creek is releasing their new album, Station Wagon, and they're releasing it at Picker's Supply down in Fredericksburg. It's going to be a great album. Really good album. Those guys have been working really hard on it. Then Heavy Hitters Festival at Fearcliff Skate Park in Woodbridge on October 1st. And a couple bands that have been on the show are playing that. Azura and Weird Wolf. That's going to be awesome. Bunny Man Bridge, Dry Town, and Jaint are playing at Epicure on October 15th. Bunch of great bands there. Be sure to go to the Facebook. You guys got the Instagram and the Twitter, all that social media?
Yeah, Facebook's the best one, man. Just go to, like, look up Half Speak or The Half Speak. I can't remember which one I named it. Like, it's one of those. No one else is named Half Speak. It's all one word. So
you'll find it.
You'll find it.
You're all internet smart at this point. You can find anything.
If you found this, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
then you know.
And while you're at it, throwing likes around, like... dollar bills at a strip club, feel free to throw a Castathetic a like while you're at it, because internet thumbs up don't cost you a dime. A lot cheaper than tipping strippers.
Don't you think they should cost a dime? People would be more careful with them, I think.
Yeah, they wouldn't spread them out, but then are we going to charge more for the emotes now that they They started
dude, a dollar
with
for
the
those.
Emotes.
Dollar?
Yeah.
Dollar for
premium
those.
Prices. Oh,
yeah, 10 cents for a like. And 5 cents goes to the person that gets liked.
You need to upgrade to a pro membership for that.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like
Facebook
that.
Pro. be sure to throw Casthetic a like. Go on Twitter. You can follow us. Follow the show at Keaton Thinking. But really, it's all about that Instagrams, you know, because we put the videos, sprinkle some pictures on there. It's delicious. Delicious pictures. And you can follow our producer's Instagrams and our Instagram at Casthetic, at Mark Ryder Music, at Ken Barnum, and at Pone de Leon. Big thanks to intern Brian for helping us out. Big thanks to Ken Barnum and Mark Ryder for mixing and producing and recording and fighting off Zardoz is the name of a movie, not a villain.
You just say it, dude. Just say it with confidence.
Fighting off Zardoz.
Yeah, yeah. We believed you.
Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
They take the DVD, they punch it into the sky. Really big thank you to Bias Studios for having us with their lovely wood panel walls and stone walls and just great ambiance. It's a wonderful studio. Go check it out at biasstudios.com. There's one last song for you guys. It's called Change. This song, I gotta say, if I was to think of a closer to a show, this song would be the perfect closer. You guys nailed it. Anything you want to say about Change?
Oh, thanks.
It's inspired by the busy world of Richard Scarry.
No.
That's what I'm going with.
That's what you're going with.
Think about that when you think about like the little worm guy in this apple car. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought of. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. It's a song up version of that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You're going to dig it. Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Richard Scarry. And
busy
his
world.
Busy world.
Busy world of Richard Scarry.
So here it is for you guys. I'll be back in a couple weeks with some more music for you. Here's Change by Half Speak.
No, you didn't change.